Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So the Vayagiri community has been exploring the four foundations of mindfulness and right now starting to, well, for many days now, we've been exploring the application of those four foundations of mindfulness in mindfulness of breathing, anapanasati, and going through the four, well, beginning to go through the four tetrads of mindfulness and breathing, right? And we're just beginning the, today we began the tetrad on feeling, mindfulness of feeling, vedana anupassana, and that lays a foundation for exploring the way the mind creates, concocts, builds its structures of thought, belief, and citta sankhara. Breathing in, experiencing the citta sankhara, breathing out, experiencing citta sankhara. And breathing in, calming the citta sankhara, breathing out, calming the citta sankhara. And this is a practice that allows us to understand the fundamentals of the mind. This citta sankhara as the mind conditioner or the fabrications of the mind, the mental formations, and this is how the mind is built in terms of how we experience it, and it takes a very basic experience of feeling, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling, and of vedana and of sanya, of perception, memory, perception, association, and through that we start to build thoughts, build moods, build positions, build worlds. And some of the worlds are okay. Yeah. And, you know, some of them are pretty miserable. But that's... we get swept up in those worlds. And this is what the Buddha calls becoming. Bhava. Becoming, being, existence. In the dependent origination, the Buddha lays out the conditionally arising experience of how we build dukkha, and of course from the six sense bases, and we experience contact. With contact, we experience feeling. With feeling as the condition, we experience desire, tanha. Tanha is the condition we experience. Clinging and grasping. And then with clinging and grasping, we experience becoming, being, bhava. And with bhava's condition, we experience birth. With birth's condition, we experience aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. And along the way, we sometimes have a good time, sometimes don't. But in the end, it's unsatisfactory. That sense of, it's like that phrase that the Buddha uses. It comes up in the suttas from place to place. For whatever one conceives, it will always be other than that. And we conceive. Because it's constantly, it will change, it'll disintegrate, it'll become something else, it'll turn into something. And that's where, like, Ajahn Chah really places a great emphasis on seeing how we keep going in these cycles, of happiness and unhappiness, of having and losing, of gain and loss, of praise and blame, of being born and dying, and whether that's a psychological state or a cosmological one, it's all the same. But it's this kind of round and round, and we keep sort of we're the dog that chases its own tail. to be able to reflect and understand how is that built? How do we keep doing this? How do we stop doing it? Understanding that fundamental nature, and really recognizing that sense of how just through these very simple acts of cognition, of feeling, of association, of memory, piecing it together, we build a mythology, really, of self and other, kind of a mythology of past and future. As I say, when we see people, we create them, because all we really actually see is color, and we hear sounds, and we have memories. Then we hold these beings in our mind as fixed entities. Ajahn Karuna Dhamma's like this, and Janjira's like that, and this are these people. And then you create the stories of we build up, it's like a mythology, really. And we live by those mythologies. And we live by those stories. So the Buddha's practice, the practice that he gives us, it gives us an opportunity to understand how that mythology is created. Those fundamental desires that feed it, that stoke it. It's like in the Buddha saying the cause of suffering is these different types of desire, tanha, gama tanha, sensual desire, bhava tanha, the desire for being or becoming, vibhava tanha, the desire for not being, negation, pushing away, annihilation. Because that's the trap that the human mind is prey to. Of course, desire for gratification and pleasure. Who doesn't want to experience pleasure? But when we're driven by desire, then we end up in a trap, because it's for however we conceive it, it will always be something other than that. And we don't really, we don't pay attention to the to the fine details of it. It's like when you download something for Apple from Apple. And, you know, and it's just these pages and pages of all the fine details of what you're is it agree or not agree. You know, who reads it? You just click agree. It's just like that. With, you know, just desire. It's just, oh, agree. Don't read the fine print at all. You don't get what comes with it. And the same, you know, it's with that bhava tanha, vibhava tanha, that desire for being, desire for not being. And it's so fundamental to how we experience our sense of self. And that's why, like with when Ajahn Amaro, one of the chapters that he wrote in the island, is to be or not to be. Is that the question? because that's really the that's the assumption. Because sort of to be or not to be, that is the question. That's the feeling. But then again, it comes with riders and comes with the fine print. And, to take up arms against the sea of troubles. Yeah, Hamlet didn't come to a very happy end. So that sense, the being, not being, gratification. To be able to recognize that is coming from desire, and of course, and again, it isn't. How do we step out of that paradigm? And that's where this sense of understanding the movement of mind becoming, in the sense of that movement of mind, that seeking, that movement, and that's whether it's moving to a being or moving to a negation, trying to push it away, trying to, it's a movement towards an affirmation, movement towards a negation. And we think, we got to do something. But it's when we don't have mindfulness and clear comprehension, discernment as the foundation, then we end up, in dukkha, end up with suffering. So that being willing to question mental formations, the mental fabrications, and to see on a more fundamental level that feeling and perception, because the mind goes to the conceivings that arise out of that, and it isn't as if it again that where it comes along, oh, there's a feeling, oh, well, maybe there might be a perception. And then somewhere along the line after that, there be a conceiving. It doesn't happen linearly. It's just bam, it's right there, and it's fully formed. And that's where and it comes with that I am. It's like what the Buddha said: I am is a conceiving. I am this is a conceiving. I shall be is a conceiving. I shall not be is a conceiving. And of course, the Buddha uses all sorts of examples and going through different ways that the mind conceives, conceptualizes, creates, forms thoughts, and they come out fully formed like that. Then the Buddha said that conceiving is a disease, conceiving is a tumor, conceiving is a barb. And something like one who is free from conceiving is called a sage at peace. That's directing our attention to this, our questioning. And this is what mindfulness is. It's not like having a fixed idea of what we're trying to be mindful of. We're just trying to force the mind into a state of static stillness. But we're trying to get this cultivation of mindfulness, of stillness, of discernment, is in order to see more clearly what's actually happening underneath here, and how can we direct our attention in a way that allows the mind to be free. And of course, the way that, say, like Ajahn Chah conceives it, is of a letting go. It's done through mindfulness, alertness, and then a letting go. And that's how developing our practice, so that we're supporting that ability to bringing mindfulness to the fore. Was the idiom we were talking about in the reading, I think, yesterday. Bringing mindfulness to the fore, so that there's this sense of alertness and clarity. So one of the images that Ajahn Chah uses is being in a place where there's a cobra. And one, you tend not to fall asleep if you knew there was a cobra around. You tend not to drift off into dullness. There'd be an alertness there. There'd be a wakefulness. But you also don't if you're in the forest, and you don't have to go hunting out the cobra and go get into this epic battle with it. All you have to do is just be alert and not step on it, not pick it up, not entangle oneself with it. That's the same with our moods. It's the same with that experience of feeling, perception, the moods that arise from them. Say that when they're not known and not seen clearly, moods of liking and disliking, they bite us and create dukkha for us. Our thoughts, whether they're, if when they're not known, even if they're intelligent thoughts, let alone the really harebrained ones, they bite us. We suffer from them. So much of it is that conceiving of the I am. I am. I am not. I want it to be like this. I don't want it to be like that. That bhavatanha, vipavatanha, the becoming mind, and to be alert to that, to understand that, see its the inherent danger. And so the Buddha recognizing that all things whether they're feelings, moods, thoughts, views, perspectives, perceptions, there's a benefit, a possible benefit, a possible say, good that can come from it. And then there's a drawback to it. And then there's a way out. And the way out is always the relinquishing of attachment. That relinquishing of attachment and desire, that letting go. And but we still, in order to let go, we really have to understand that benefit, the pleasant, the attractive, the desirable aspect of it, and we have to see the drawback, the painful consequence, the difficulty that can arise as well. Because they're there side by side, and when we see them clearly, then we can let go, we can relinquish. But it's that it's that letting go that's is a bit unfamiliar to us. We're used to we're used to holding on desperately. Like Ajahn Chah, they're saying it's like we've been carrying around a huge rock since forever, since we've been small. We've grown up with this rock, and we carry it around with us. And somebody comes along and says, "Why don't you just drop that rock? Why don't you let it go?" How can I? I've always had this rock. And you say, you find the reasons to keep the rock. I mean, it's so familiar. Or you're fearful of dropping your rock, because everything that you've conceived of yourself as being is me with this rock. Don't dare to let it go. Don't dare to drop it. But, it keeps getting heavy. I mean, it always was heavy. But you keep noticing. You keep noticing increasingly, this is heavy. And then one day you just decide to drop it, put it down, to let it go. It's like, wow, that's such a relief. It feels so good. And you could never have conceived of how good it felt to let it go. And that's what it's like with that letting go of kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha, that sensual desire for being, desire for non-being, desire for becoming, desire for not becoming. It's hard to imagine what life would be like without it, and it is hard. Especially that sense, to be or not to be, because everything that we've conceived of ourself, of our life, of our world, is cast in that light of this opposite, and this mythology of self and other, this mythology of me in here and everything else out there. This mythology of past and future. Learning how, experimenting with letting go, and seeing, just as we're practicing anapanasati, the mindfulness of breathing, isn't the experience of feeling, experience of perception, the experience of the fabricating of the mind, letting it go, feeling, experimenting with letting go, releasing, dropping. So Ajahn Chah sort of saying, if you let go a little, you get a little peace. You let go a lot, you get a lot of peace. But if you let go completely, you get complete peace. And that, Ajahn Chah's little aphorism, so it's kind of really succinct, but it just captures that. And then learning to get a feel for what that letting go is. And of course, what, you know, what the Buddha's pointing to, what Ajahn Chah's pointing to, yeah, is this experience of peace, of tremendous, and not just peace of a nice state of mind or not being disturbed, but peace because there is this quality of, yeah, freedom. And not being oppressed by that, you know, those that conceiving of I am, conceiving of I am not, conceiving of being this, being that. It's a tremendous possibility. Because it's easy to that sounds great, but I can't do that. It's just too much. It's just too much to know. Okay, that's okay, that's there. And then we've got to do all the meditation, and we've got to do the 16 steps of Anapanasati, and then there's the dependent origination. Well, there's a lot in there. That's a lot. It's just, how do I do all that? It's just too much. But it's just, you know, it's really just one breath at a time. And just breathing in, so experiencing the mental formations, breathing out, experiencing the mental formations. And it's just that an in-breath and an out-breath. Just the path is not, it's not too much. The Buddha gave us the tools, simplified the tools so that we have enough to experience. He said, just teaching suffering and the cessation of suffering. It's not. I think one of the images that comes to mind is in North Africa, when the French were the colonists there, and it was the Sahara Desert. It's vast and unmarked, and you know, how do you cross the Sahara Desert? And the French, what they did was, you know, they make a track to the desert. Every 5 kilometers, they put a 55-gallon drum painted black every 5 kilometers so that you follow this track. And as you get from one 55-gallon drum, you can see the next one. As you get up to that one, about 5 kilometers, then the one behind you disappears from view, and the one up ahead starts to show itself. So that you go through this vast Sahara Desert, but it's just one drum behind you, one that you've just got to, and one that you're going ahead to. You know, just with this experience of, okay, this drum, because heading off to the next one. So basically, this one, the next one, this one, the next one. And you make it through the desert. And it's the same way. Just this in-breath, then the out-breath. This in-breath, the out-breath, this in-breath, the out-breath. So, you know, you can make it, you know, simplify it as well. Other ways that the Buddha has, you just see. And just paying attention to the trainings in Sila, Samadhi, Panya. It's not complicated. It ain't rocket science. It's the science of the mind, science of liberation. And we need, in order to do that, we can't get entangled in that conceiving the mental fabrications. We have to experience them clearly. We have to learn how to calm those mental fabrications and not get entangled in that process of conceiving. Keeping it simple. And it's that image of going through the desert with just these little points. And you don't have to explore all the rest of it. Just go to that experience, those experiences that you can know. Seeing the breath, seeing what we're experiencing. We can see it arising, we can see it ceasing. That arising and ceasing, arising and ceasing. And in that process, learning how to let go, learning how to relinquish, learning how to put things down, not create complications. And this is the way that we can put this practice, this teaching, into our daily life, into our formal practice, and realize the fruits of it. It's not far away. It's not some distant goal off somewhere else. And it's like Ajahn Chah would say, there's two things you need to do. Know and let go. Know and let go. Ru la wang. Ru la wang. Know it and put it down. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.